사탄이 빛으로 살아 곧파자 예수 부르샹 가수 삼지대 삼이제 아트마남 appeared as the son of Vasudeva, but immediately left his father's home and went to Vrindavan to expand his loving relationship with his confidential devotees. In Vrindavan, the Lord killed many demons, and afterwards he returned to Dwarka, where according to Vedic principles he married many wives who were the best of women. He begot through them hundreds of sons, and performed sacrifices for his own worship to establish the principles of household delight. Report. As stated in the Bhagavad Gita 15:15, by all the Vedas, it is Krishna who is to be known. Lord Sri Krishna is setting an example by his own behavior, performed many ritualistic ceremonies described in the Vedas, and established the principles of grihastha life by marrying many wives and begetting many children just to show people in general how to be happy by living according to Vedic principles. The center of Vedic sacrifice is Krishna. But Vedaischa Saivaraham Eva Vedya. To advance in human life, human society must follow the Vedic principles, personally demonstrated by Lord Krishna in his household life. The real purpose of Krishna's appearance, however, was to manifest how one can take part in loving affairs with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Reciprocations of loving affairs and ecstasy are possible only in Vrindavan. Therefore, just after his appearance as the son of Vasudeva, the Lord immediately left for Vrindavan. In Vrindavan, the Lord not only took part in loving affairs with his mother and father, the gopis, and the cowherd boys, but also gave liberation to many demons by killing them. As stated in Bhagavad Gita 4.8, Paritya Naya Sadhunam Vinashaya Chadushkritam. The Lord appears in order to protect the devotees and kill the demons. This was fully exhibited by his personal behavior. In Bhagavad Gita, the Lord is understood by Arjuna to be Purusham Shashvatam Divyam, the eternal, transcendental, supreme person. Here also we find the words Utpadya Teshu Purusha. Therefore is to be concluded that the absolute truth is Purusha, a person. The impersonal feature is one of the features of his personality. Ultimately, he is a person, he is not impersonal. And not only is he Purusha, a person, but he is the Lila Purushottama, the best of all persons. Text 67. Thereafter, Lord Sri Krishna created a misunderstanding between family members just to diminish the burden of the world. Simply by his glance, he annihilated all the demoniac kings on the battlefield of Kurukshetra and declared victory for Arjuna. Finally, he instructed Uddhava about transcendental life and devotion and then returned to his abode in his original form. Purport. Vritranaya sadhanam vinashaya chadushkritam. The mission of Lord Krishna was performed on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, for by the Lord's mercy, Arjuna was victorious due to being a great devotee, whereas the others were killed simply by the Lord's glance, which cleansed them of all sinful activities and enabled them to attain Sarupya. Finally, Lord Krishna instructed Uddhava about the transcendental life and devotional service, and then in due course of time, he returned to his abode. The Lord's instructions in the form of Bhagavad Gita are full of jnana and vairagya, knowledge and renunciation. In the human form of life, one must learn these two things, how to become detached from the material world and how to acquire full knowledge in spiritual life. This is the Lord's mission. After executing his complete mission, the Lord returns to his home, Goloka Vrindavan. Thus ends the Bhaktivedanta purports of the 9th canto, 24th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, completed in Bhubaneswar, India, on the occasion of establishing a Krishna Balaram temple. End of the 9th canto. So these two verses then summarize all of Krishna's pastimes, all of his activities, whatever he did. So he first appeared, and then immediately he went to Vrindavan. Is in the process, then the Lord's mercy descends. So then the first thing would be here, then he manifests his Vrindavan pastimes. So from the Vrindavan pastimes, comes to the Mathura pastimes, then to the Gorkha pastimes. Like this, then we see what is happening. So basically in this, then there are two parts that he is showing. One is the attraction to himself, the attractiveness of himself, so that one can become attracted to him, and thus attract us back to the spiritual world. And so this is manifest in the Vrindavan pastimes. And then we see in Mathura and Dwarka, especially in Dwarka, then he performed his activities of this world very nicely to set a proper example. And by this proper example, then we are able to, you know, see what is the proper standard in dealing in the material world, dealing in, you know, engaging our conditioned nature in the Lord's service. So the Lord, as mentioned, he was worshipping the Lord, which happens to be himself, but he also then showed how one should worship through sacrifice and the performance of his activities, all engaged in the Lord's service, you know, with knowledge, with detachment. And so that then frees us from this material contamination, material considerations, material attachment, identity. And then the other side, then his wonderful pastimes in Vrindavan, then that creates the attractiveness, how we will become attracted to him, how we will develop our love for him, is through those pastimes. So both aspects are necessary. Sometimes some will say that the one, you know, one is all that's important. We should just hear only the pastimes. We don't need all these different rules and regulations. You know, we're transcendental. And others may say that, you know, we don't need to bother about the pastimes, we don't need to bother about, you know, the various, you know, doing our sadhana nicely, we just have to do our work and that's all. But we see is actually Krishna's pastimes, it's a blend of both. That one should engage oneself nicely in his service through the sadhana, through the association of Vaishnavas, hearing from the Bhagavatam, and, you know, according to one's, you know, level and understanding. And then this will bring us, this will bring about an attraction to Krishna, an attachment to Krishna. Then, by performing our duties in according to the Lord's direction, that will then free us from our material conceptions, our material ideas, like this. So both are there. So he's killing the demons. That is there. The demoniac mentality must be removed. And then, once that is removed, then the devotional process works very nicely. So as long as there's doubts and misgivings, then the process will be slow. And as soon as that is removed, then it becomes quick. Then the engagement of one's conditioned nature in the Lord's service becomes very easy, because one's not then identifying with it or attached to it. As many times as by that attachment or otherwise identity with it, it creates all kinds of difficulties. Actually, if one analyzes the day-to-day difficulties that we run into in our life, that the managers run into in their life, basically come from this simple point of identifying or with the conditioned nature, or being attached to the conditioned nature, like that. Generally, there's not a big problem that the administrators are having to discuss, you know, someone's attachment to Krishna. Oh, what to do? All the temple devotees are so attached to Krishna. All day they're chanting, and no one's talking any vajalpa, and everyone does their service perfectly, and is fully absorbed in Krishna consciousness. What are we going to do? You know? No, that's generally not. If you take every difficulty that comes up in our life, in the administration, it's always to do with some identity. Somebody identifies their first prestige is there, they've said something, someone else has said something, what they've said is actually not right, but it's a prestige, so they don't want to be shown as wrong, so they'll fight it, even though it's wrong. Like that, the one considers himself better than others by some material consideration, physically, mentally, intellectually, his particular birth or situation or whatever it is, he thinks he's better. Or the opposite, he feels he's not better, it's inferior and this and that, so he always has to create an air about him that he is something special and unique. Like that, just the opposite, you know, he's coming from one background, he must then project that he's the other, you know, it's like, I say, there's a Bengali saying, that if a rich man wears brass, everyone will say it's gold. And if a poor man wears gold, everyone will say it's brass. Like that. So there's always this thing, the poor man is always trying to prove, I'm not poor. Like that. But no matter how much he tries, he always thinks he's poor, everybody else will think he's poor, no matter how much he has. Like that. So this is also a problem, it's a matter of the identity, the ego, the attachment. Or, let us say, that's not so much, but then one's attached to the fruits. With the conditioned nature, we do something, and then after then they want the results of that. You know, they do something, you know, they worked in this garden, they did everything, pulled out all the weeds, and then whatever comes up from that garden, they should get the credit for, or they should get. You know, they work in the garden, so then all the subject from the garden, they should get something. There's always this attachment that the work that you perform, then there's the idea that I should get the results. So this is always a problem. So if we check, then these demons have to be removed. Then we are able to engage our conditioned nature very easily and smoothly in Krishna's service. Whatever it is, it doesn't matter. One's easily able to engage it. Otherwise, the problem comes is one will feel difficulty in engaging it because of these problems. Either one is engaging because of attachment, or one is avoiding it because of you know, some kind of other concept. So it becomes a difficulty. So when the demons are removed,
then we can actually become attracted to Krishna. Right? Through proper engagements. And then that will then mature into actually having attachment and love for Krishna. So we see in these two verses describing Krishna's whole lifetime, it also describes the whole process that the devotee goes through. Because Krishna is setting example. He sets example and he attracts the minds of the devotees. This is the specialty, that he performs his pastimes. Then those devotees after that, here in the Kali Yuga, then they can remember those pastimes, be absorbed in those pastimes, and in this way then perfect their life. So this is, we see, is whatever he's done here. But of the two, Prabhupada points out here that the real purpose of Krishna coming is how to engage in service to Krishna in a loving relationship. That's the real thing. So therefore, the real thing is always stated first. Like, if you want to present something, the first thing you do is give a synopsis of the essence. You want to write something, you want to speak something, the first thing you do is say, what is the essence? Then after that, then you elaborate on that. So the essence is the loving exchanges between the Lord and His devotees. Therefore the Vraja pastimes are performed first. Then after that, then He shows the process and methods to get to that position. You know, through engaging ourselves, our conditioned nature in the Lord's service. But, so His killing of the demons, that's not the real purpose of the time. Many times we feel that way, is that what I'm doing is right, so therefore who's not doing it is wrong, so therefore if they're corrected, then this is important. Yes, but it's important, but only because then it removes the obstacles that someone can develop love for Krishna. Right? Just because we're practicing Krishna consciousness, that is not the reason that everybody else should be following Krishna consciousness. Right? Because I'm following. If I'm not following, who cares? But if I'm following, the whole world better be following. No, that's not the reason. The reason is that we have a natural relationship with Krishna, an eternal relationship with Krishna. So that's the reason that we should, everyone should be engaged in Krishna service. That's the natural position. So if we can help in that process of helping people remove the obstacles, understand the philosophy, make a distinction between matter and spirit, learn how to engage themselves in Krishna service, learn how to identify what facilities they have to engage in Krishna service, or how best to be engaged. And then who is Krishna? Why is he, his wonderfulness, his wonderful activities, his name, his form, his qualities, pastimes. We learn about all this. So both these things are happening. Right? The removal of the obstacles and the establishment of pure devotion. So both of these are. Any questions on this? Comments? Yes.
Why is this chapter entitled Liberation?
Why is this chapter called Liberation?
Palakanda.
Because liberation means getting beyond the material concept. And so see, there's two levels of liberation. One that's not actually, you don't get out of the material world. You may physically situate yourself somewhere else, but that doesn't mean you're out of the material world. It's just like, we may be sitting here, but our mind is somewhere else. We may be in Calcutta, or Delhi, or America, anywhere. Body's here, but we're actually not here, we're somewhere else. So the same way as the impersonalist, he may get out of what we know as the material world, but he hasn't gotten out of material consciousness, so he never leaves the material world. So it's not actually liberation, it's still within the material conception. There's still that idea to enjoy, but through proper establishment of the religious principles. So their understanding that I am soul, so that, that it means that I am Brahman, that is religion, but it's only partial religion, because they haven't understood fully the nature of the soul.
So the religious platform actually is on the platform of Manomoya. It's the third level of consciousness. So even though it appears that they're liberated, they're not. They're actually not. Because they're only going up. So you can't get into the spiritual world on our own endeavor. We have to be allowed into the spiritual world, or invited to the spiritual world. Therefore, the ascending process, you can only go so high, and then from there you fall back down. But the actual liberation is Krishna reaches down and picks us up. Then you're brought into the spiritual world. So the fifth stage of consciousness, or the final stage, that's called aprakrita, means not material. That's the real platform of liberation. So actual liberation means that the soul is engaged in the Lord's service. That's real liberation. So on the process platform of sadhana bhakti, then that engaging one's conditioned nature in the Lord's service according to rules and regulations, as Krishna gave an example, that creates jnana vairag and liberation. So this is the real process of liberation. So in other words, one is coming to that platform of aprakrita, like that. Then from that platform, on that platform, because that's where then we start dealing with the Lord's pastimes. You know, directly in Vrindavan. Because for us, the stage that we want to attain in aprakrita is Raja Vrindavan. We're not interested. For us, our goal is not Vaikuntha. So for those who are worshippers of Vishnu, then for them, the fourth level at Hoksija is following the rules and regulations of sadhana bhakti in this world. And aprakrita means following the rules and regulations of devotional activities in Vaikuntha. But now they're free from the material conception, free from the material body, you know, and that, and material elements, and then they serve on the transcendental platform. So the fourth level is where you're engaging the external energy according to the rules and regulations in the Lord's service. But then for us, then this fifth level, aprakrita, or what we know as anandamaya, that then is Raja Vrindavan. So for us then, liberation means going to the Lord's, you know, going to Goloka Vrindavan. So therefore the ninth canto should bring us up to that point. How to come to that point? We see like Ramti Dev is described, the great king, but how even in that position to perform his kingly duties perfectly, but to with knowledge and detachment that he's not actually absorbed in the world here. So that's what takes us beyond. So that is that platform of Adhokshita, where the Lord's mercy descends upon us and we're able to be freed from material entanglement. Then, from that platform, then we can get to know Krishna and Vrindavan. Is that making sense?
The inhabitants of Vrindavan, they have a concept of awe and reverence for Vishnu. They have a concept of God as all reverence. And at the same time, they relieve this point of reverence to Krishna because they don't know that he is God, in a sense.
Yeah.
So when we become attracted to the pastimes of Vishnu and his Ramachandra features, you know, Shunga feature, etc., this is part of the growing on devotional service if we're going to be able one time to get the mercy of him in Vrindavan.
One has to know that Ramachandra, that Vishnu, that is Krishna. And for a particular purpose, you know, and situation, therefore he manifests that particular form to perform those pastimes. Okay. But we should never leave it at that. Therefore, the Dasavatar Stotra starts from the Lord, but it shows that all these 10 forms are actually Krishna. Like Keshava Dvita, Korma Sharira, Matsya, you know, Raha, Nishringa, like this. So that's the point. Keshava Dvita, Narahari Rupa. It said, this is Keshava's comments, perform this pastimes.
Because the residents of Vrindavan, they don't see the difference also. Like that, when they talk to Krishna, you know, they tell him, you know, the gopis are upset, they will complain, that you don't deal with women nicely, we know. Like that, you know, Suparnika, you cut off her nose, you know, you do all these things. You know, and then you banish Sita to the forest. You know, so therefore you don't know how to deal nicely with ladies. You know. They don't make a distinction. You know, just like the family members don't make a distinction that the person sitting at home and the person sitting in the high court bench is a different person. To them it's the same person. But how they will act at home and how they will act in the court will be totally different. The mood's different, the paraphernalia is different, the procedures are different, the dress is different, everything's different. But they don't see it as a difference. But they'll act according to the situation. Therefore, you're in the Vishnu temple, then the Vrajavasis will also, you know, properly, you know, respect and this and that. But they know it's Vishnu. That's on one platform. On another platform, then, for many times, for the pastimes, they don't know. So, whichever is most convenient, that's the whole point, is that Krishna's pleasure, that is the real perfection. It's not that this method or that method or this situation or that situation. No, what pleases Krishna, that's what's nice. Right? You think, oh, when Krishna is, you know, there in the kunj with Radharani, that's the most pleasing. There are pastimes where Krishna sneaks into Radharani's house in the courtyard. There's a tree. He climbs up in the tree to get her attention in the window. And then because it's a hot summer night, then Jatila, Kotila, and Abhimanyu decide to sleep under the tree in the courtyard that night. Right? So he gets stuck in the tree the whole night. Right? But for Krishna, it's pleasing. So that's perfection. So we may have our own idea that, you know, I would like to be sitting in a comfortable place with flower arrangements and all that. So therefore that's, no, but for Krishna, whatever creates the interaction between him and his devotees, that's what's wonderful. So the medium isn't what's important. It's important in that that is the manifestation of reciprocation. But what's important is the reciprocation, not the medium that's used. That's the difficulty that comes up for those who are not so expert in devotional service. Is the sadhana, the rules and regulations, that's the most important. No, that's the medium for expressing your devotion. You know, like that. Or, you know, all the nice pastimes of the Lord and, you know, all the bhav, that's the most important. No, that's a medium for expressing. Because neither of those are the real thing is prema. Those are just steps to get to it. Mediums that you use. If your emotions are flowing towards Krishna, then that flow you use in Krishna's service. If they're not flowing towards Krishna, just intellectually you've accepted that, yes, I'm not God. Somebody else must be in control because I really tried hard. I did my best and I couldn't get on top of it. You know, so it does appear that someone else is in control. So then intellectually accept God is there, then what to do, surrender, I am His servant, therefore I should take up service. So you're expressing your attraction, you know, whatever attraction is there to the Lord, through the rules. That's the symptom that you have attraction for God. Otherwise, what's to tell? Therefore, it is very dangerous to somebody to give up the rules, because what's the expression? You know what I'm saying? If I want to express something to you, and I say it's just a bob, so I give up language, then what are we going to do? Right? I have to use something. You know, then I say, no language, no problem, you know, I use hands, or sad. But that's also a medium. I'll just use the mind, telepathy, that's also a medium. So it's an impersonal idea that the rules and regulations are not important. It's thought of as advanced devotional service, it's actually impersonal. Because the medium is what's important. Mother Yashoda, what is she? She uses things. She feeds Krishna, dresses him. That's things. You know, people say, oh, he's gone so opulent, this and that. This is nothing. It's made out of cement, sand, and chips, and Krishna's house is just made out of jewels. You know, Vaikuntha, they stud the wall with jewels. In Vrindavan, they don't bother with that. Why waste your time? It's just solid jewel. You know, the gate's made out of crystal. That's all. You know, why you should take some, build it in something, then clad it in marble, or make it out of marble, and then put a jewel in it. You just make it out of jewel. So, you know, just solid jewel. It's like, you know, it's much easier. It's straightforward. You know, so therefore, Vrindavan is simple, yes, but it doesn't mean that it's not opulent. Simple is opulence. Right? The enunciation is the wealth of the Brahmins, because it's simple. So therefore, Vrindavan is simple, therefore it's the most opulent. You know, it's just how you view, you know, one thinks a piece of paper is valuable. How much sky can you buy with a piece of paper? Limited. But the renunciate, right? Well, he seemingly he owns nothing. But the whole earth is his bed, right? The whole sky is his cupboard. So the whole world is his. So by simplicity, he has everything. So the same way that Vrindavan, it's the most opulent. So therefore, what appears to be sometimes a certain is aspect is advanced, like the sahaja is, it's actually impersonalism. Because if it's not for Krishna, it's against Krishna. There's no in-between. Right? You don't have an in-between. Right? You get a temporary in-between, but you either are for Krishna or against Krishna. Right? Like that. You can't sit on the fence. Because if you sit on the fence, it means you don't have attraction for Krishna. It means you're actually amenable to Krishna. That is the weakness of. That's why the jiva can't stay in the tatastha position. He has to go to one side or the other. Manifest his inimicalness by coming to the material world, or manifest his affection for Krishna by going to the spiritual world.
So when you say that Krishna is not in the kunja, he's satisfied.
I'm not saying he's not satisfied in the kunja. I'm saying it's not the only way he's satisfied.
Exactly. So it means he's always satisfied at Madhava. And even in his Vishnu form's relationship with the world.
Yeah, he's always satisfied. He's Atmarama. But he's always expanding that satisfaction. Because Atmarama means he's satisfied with the self. But when he expands that self into the unlimited living entities, that reciprocation with them, that becomes the most tasteful. Like that. So we see that Krishna also performs like that. What I'm saying is that they, depending upon what is more favorable for Krishna at the moment, that will be used. Knowledge is used, or not knowing, you know? Krishna is all-knowing, and he's also at the same time can become completely, doesn't know what's going on. Right? We see. You know, if Balaram knows what's going on like that, but other times he doesn't know what's going on. You know, same with Krishna. You know, Agasura, he doesn't know what's going on. You know, all the cowherd boys are going in his mouth, how they'll be saved, this and that. So he's moved up, he's enjoying that mood. Then he knows this is a demon, this and that, you know, he has his duty. So it's moods. It's just moods. So depending upon what mood is being established in that, Krishna is in the mood of Vrindavan, then the residents of Dwarka take him to this love of Vrindavan. Right? It looks just like Vrindavan, everything, and they make deities of everybody there, and Krishna goes up and talks to them, and Balaram goes along with them, so, you know, Rohini, so it looks, you know, okay, some people are moving and talking, though the others aren't, you know, so, you know, he goes, cows are there, he goes out, and then he's going along, and he gets down to the Jamuna River, which happens to be the ocean, and then he looks across, you know, what's supposed to be the Jamuna, and he sees Dwarka out in the middle, and all the flags, and he gets bewildered, doesn't know what to do, right? So then immediately, Balaram then starts chanting, you know, this, what's it, Yidahira, Hidamasya, Vayan, Pavadibar, and then he just gets into that mood, yes, I've come to kill the demons, this and that. And then he forgets about the past tense, and gets into the work. So, So, like that, for Krishna, it's just tasting the mellows of exchange. That's the real thing. So the problem is we get into that here. The soul, it will do the same thing. That's where it's happening. It's tasting the mellows of exchange. But we get in the mellows of exchange of this world. You know, our position in the world, the family life, the wealth, the interactions, all these things. And we get, you know, if it goes nicely, we get absorbed. That's the difficulty. We follow all the Vedic things nicely, family life goes nicely, economics, sense gratification. Then we're tasting those mellows and we forget Krishna. Right? So therefore, even if you follow perfectly, something will go wrong and there will be some problem. Right? And then we say, oh, why did Krishna do this? What, Krishna's supposed to let you rot here? That's what he's supposed to do. So it's the same thing, but it should be there. We want interaction, then it's down to devotees in the spirit, on the spiritual platform, with Krishna. So the same principle is there, just we're focusing it on the wrong thing, just like the kid wants to eat, right? Babies, they eat, that's all they do. But the problem is they don't know what to eat, not eat. Everything goes in their mouth, you know, a plastic ball goes in their mouth, the curtain goes in their mouth, the shoe goes in their mouth. You know, none of it edible, but it all goes in the mouth. So with time you train them, no, not shoes, not curtains, not plastic balls. You know, it's this food that your mother makes. Okay, then they start to go that side. So the same way as we're thinking that, you know, everything in this world, that's going to make me happy. But then slowly you get trained that no, it's not that. And then it's service, you know, and in the spiritual world for Krishna, on the spiritual platform. That is where the reciprocation of the thing. Okay. Anything else?
Would you need
to be properly engaged? What is the criterion for being properly engaged? Basically, one has to see what is one's. What are the facilities that one has in one's nature? What can you do for Krishna? What can you do, and of what you can do, what needs to be done? And then you choose. It's fairly simple. It's just a matter of when the attachment is more, we tend to not be able to look in an unbiased way at our creation nature. Therefore, we think I should do this. For some other reason, you know, like that. Like, let's say I should be a manager when we can't manage, but, you know, we think the prestige or this or that or facilities. So then that's why there's trouble. We want, how come I manage everything always turns so? Is it a can of worms? Everything, whatever I get into, turns into a can of worms. Because it's not, you're not supposed to be doing that. It's not your nature. If you were able to do it, it wouldn't turn into a can of worms. Right? So, therefore, then, that's not it. So then one has to actually realistically look. So that's why, in the beginning, generally we are told what to do. And then with time, then we start to identify and see what we can do. Then it's more up to the individual. You know, in cooperation with the devotees. Okay. Yeah, last question.
Fourth and
fifth.
Yeah, what are these three
thirds? The first is, what's it?
Unknown.
No, not. It means this. Paroksha, aparoksha. And remember what the third means? Paroksha, aparoksha. I don't remember. They connect with the same. So you have the levels of consciousness, anamoy, pranamoy, manamoy, vidyanamoy, anandamoy. But those same levels only have five levels of perception, how you perceive everything around you. So what I was describing today is the perception aspect of it, not so much the consciousness aspect of it. So the first three stages are of perception are based on us trying to figure it out ourselves from our own platform. Or we're using the, in other words, paroksha means through our senses we perceive the world, and we trust our senses, and what knowledge the senses brings in, that is what we use. Aparoksha means we take from others, either from the authority of the Vedas or other people say, you know, like the, you know, great authorities like the newspaper or Newsweek or, you know, the television, you know, all these, you know, great authorities. So then, like this, and therefore then we just make, establish our life, you know. You know, why are those people doing that there? That's unjust and that, and, you know, make a movement. That's all, that's all aparoksha, based on someone else's idea. Like that. And we see it contemplated and buy into it. Like that. So the first is sense gratification. Second level, then if one is following the Vedic, is Dharma, Artha, Kama, and Moksha. And then that third level then brings one to the platform of actual material liberation. Like the great jnanis and yogis and that, they can be on that platform. But the other is more for those who are within the cycle of the karma. In other words, the first is sense gratification, the second level is karma kanda, the third level is jnana kanda. And then that's the limit that the ascending process can go. It can't go beyond that. But that third level can then, that can be used properly in the Lord's service. If it's connected to the Lord's service, the Vedic process, the whole Varnashram, then it comes from the second level up to the third. Like that. So depending upon if you accept, if your goal is Krishna, then religiosity comes to the third level. If you don't, then it comes to the second level. Like that. So it moves up and down. Then the fourth level then is the platform of Gyan and Vairag detecting. It means, in other words, that's the platform of where you're performing your activities without attachments for the Lord's pleasure, and we're able to appreciate how the Lord descends into the world, right? We appreciate the deity, the devotees, the Bhagavatam, the holy name, his mission. You know, sometimes devotees, you know, badmouth the mission or the society. That's someone who's not on that platform. Otherwise, then you would see is the mission's not the problem, right? It's we're the problem. Not the mission. The mission is perfect. Society's been established by Prabhupada. You don't like it, that means you don't like what Prabhupada's ideas. And where Prabhupada get the idea from Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakura. He institutionalized, you know, to use a politically incorrect and foul word. The acharyas themselves, the nityasiddhas, the eternal, you know, gopi relinquy, you know, how you say, associates of Krishna, made institutions. We don't like it, that is our mundane perception and misfortune. Bus. That's it. No fancy talk, no nothing. It's just coming from pure, unadulterated mundanity and conditioning of the 60s. That's all. People nowadays don't have so much problem with institutions. I think they work pretty good. But if you are trained up in the 60s, then it's your God-given right to dislike them. That's why you were born at that time, is because you had that mentality. That's all. Very simple. So, therefore, on that platform, you appreciate anything that has descended from the Lord. It's descended, so you can see the value of it. Otherwise, if you can't see that, how you appreciate every living entity as part and parcel of God, see the workings of Krishna's energies, all that. That's all, to see that, that's all the hoksaja, what descends. The Lord's mercy descends, that we're able to, with knowledge and detachment, view and work with the material world. That's why the Neophyte is called Prakriti Bhakta. Prakriti means mundane, material. His vision is material. So he's not on that platform in Hoksaja. That's the Mandya. The Mandya sees with that vision. They see that it's all Krishna's. It's all like that. It's Bhaktivinoda Thakur. No road is bad. No thought is bad. It's just that it has to be properly connected to Krishna.
So you have to find what works, and according to the acharyas, connect it. That's the importance of the acharyas. They teach how to connect it. So appreciating devotees, appreciating the movement, the asanga of devotees, the endeavors of devotees, the facilities that are given by Krishna, the, you know, the way things work, like that, that's in Bhakti. So if one is purely on that platform, one's there. If it's mixed, then there'll be a few things. You know, that's going to be natural. One is going to start more materialistic. And in various areas, depending on the individual, you will break through into the spiritual consciousness in those areas. And slowly, from those areas, it'll expand until it becomes fully, you know, conscious, like that. And then that brings you to the platform of aprakriti, which means not mundane. No mundane influence at all. So then that's the platform of the uttama. But you perfected the uttama. You know, someone on the platform came. That makes sense. So, try to get to that Srimad Bhagavatam. Yeah. 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 Yeah.